It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
It's Sports Spotlight time. Owen, you didn't do anything.
No, I didn't do the intro today.
So you mean it was just like always, he didn't do anything?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Owen, I didn't know you were sitting there, my bad.
But you're listening to the Sports Spotlight here. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Owen Pooley and John Easter.
I've been hard on Owen today. I'm sorry, Owen.
No, you're good. Okay. I'm fine.
But a lot of college basketball going on as IU is taking on Michigan as we speak.
Yeah.
And, so if the Hoosiers win this game, we'll just hop right into it. They will make the tournament.
Well, there's no guarantee.
Most likely.
If anybody has watched Indiana in the last month, I would say that you might need to see what's in the water at the selection committee if they put IU in. But that's what all the experts are saying.
IU first Power 5 school to become a 16 seed in the tournament.
It won't be that, but
no. They'll probably get, probably the least they'll get is like a 10 seed.
Have the Hoosiers ever won an NIT championship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like recently at all?
Not recently. It was when Bob Knight was coaching there. Because, you see, it used to be, and this is well before you two were even dreamed about, that the NCAA was only 32 teams. So sometimes you had really good teams that didn't get in. So you would get, you know, to the NIT and then, yeah. So that's
they
how
make
it
the not in tournament and then run the tournament.
Right. Right. So, but you would see the NIT, and Jackson's over there texting on his phone. But there was 32 teams back then on the in the tournament. So that's how it would work.
Yeah, and just making sure I tweet out.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Because I was watching
the S_ Spotlight.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter, the S_Spotlight, and you can hear everything you want to know about sports.
But, you know, I think they went to 64 teams in like 85. That was the first year that they had 64 in the NCAA. So,
and then went to like 68 in 94 or something.
And then like Indiana didn't miss the tournament for like almost 20 some years.
Yeah.
And then even though there were some years they probably didn't deserve to get in, they still would always get in.
They had that status of Indiana on
them. Right, because they were Indiana. But that has sorely been gone now for the Hoosiers. We were just talking, if you're 5 years old, you've never seen IU make the tournament.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because weren't they a one seed like not that long ago?
2013?
Eight years ago?
Yeah.
9 years ago?
That was the Cody Zeller, Victor Oladipo.
Not Yogi Ferrell.
Will Sheehy, Yogi Ferrell team. And then actually in
OG Anunoby.
Yeah, and in Tom Crean's second to last year, IU went all the way. They went to the Sweet 16 after beating Kentucky.
That was a big upset.
Yeah, it was a big upset. So, lost to North Carolina in the Sweet 16. But, it hasn't been all that long ago, but it has been a long time since IU's been relevant in the tournament, I think. I think you can say when they're number one seed, they were relevant. So, probably at least 8 years. But I think the year that they went to the Sweet 16, they were a 5 or a 6 seed and ended up beating Kentucky to go to the Sweet 16. That was Tom Crean who just got canned at Georgia.
Mm-hmm. And so right now it's 6:39 in the second half remaining for the Hoosiers. They trail by 4, 62-58 to the Wolverines.
They've done a nice job coming back because
they were down by 17 at one point.
Which is just embarrassing. But, hey, hopefully they can get it done.
Yeah, the Hoosiers have the ball as they just got an air ball off Michigan. But this is just, I know obviously the Hoosiers are having a chance right now, but this team is known for the fourth quarter collapse, not the fourth quarter, the second half collapse.
But here's the thing, okay? And I know we're getting into like programs and how Indiana, is perceived as a program. They're struggling right now to get into the tournament just so they can be one of the 68 and be like number 68.
Yeah.
you know, this they is were, Indiana.
They were the one seed in 2016. That was the last time that they were really, like...
2016.
The Hoosiers were not a one seed in 2016.
Yeah, that's not true. The last time they were one seed, Oladipo was on the team. And Cody
They were not a one seed in 2016.
That's the last time they were in the tournament.
Yeah, but they were Big Ten champions in 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, the one seed in the Big Ten conference. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Hold on, let me be
more
specific.
They weren't a one seed. I think they were a four.
Yeah, because Tom Crean did win two Big Ten championships, which from where he took over the program, I mean, his first year they won six games.
Mm-hmm.
So to have won two Big Ten championships, and I kind of understand why they let Tom Crean go, but I still don't understand why they let Tom Crean go.
Yeah. 2013, they were the one seed alongside Louisville, Gonzaga, and Kansas.
And they ended up losing to Syracuse, who went to the Final Four, if I recall, that year.
Yes,
they did.
Went to the Final Four.
Louisville, Wichita State, Michigan, and Syracuse, and then it was Louisville, Michigan, and the Atlanta Final Four.
The Shockers of Wichita State.
So I do have an update. The Hoosiers have a 1-point lead.
Really?
5:39 in
really?
The second half.
Wow.
What's his name? Coop hit a three in the corner. And then
Cop.
Yeah, and then Davis just hit two free throws to put him up.
Well, good. Well, we'll see what the Hoosiers can do.
The Hoosiers are on a 20-2 run in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
20-2, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
So nice. This is probably the best they've ever played in a second half this season, at least in the bottom, the back half of the
Center Grove's very own Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah.
Hoosiers have the ball now with the lead.
Okay.
Time to go up a possession.
I'm about to do a play-by-play here.
Yeah, we should not be doing
yeah,
that.
I don't want
to
get a band.
We don't want Fox Sports to get mad at us.
But Owen, if you can.
Like, you can't do play-by-play of Fox Sports.
No, that's their broadcast.
Play-by-play.
But yeah. Owen, if you can kind of break down the tournament as Selection Sunday is coming up.
Well, I think that Gonzaga is going to be a big team there.
Well, yes, they have Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, Andrew Timmy.
Timmy, he's always a funny guy, fifth-year senior.
I think Baylor can be a good team, too, to make a run in the tournament. UCLA is another big team, first four to Final Four last year.
UCLA is a team that kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah. They had a coach who, I forget his name.
At UCLA?
Yeah.
Mick Cronin.
Uh-huh. But who was their coach prior to that?
Steve Alford.
Yeah, Alford. And then Alford got fired, and then they've kind of been on the rise ever since.
Yeah, Loyola Chicago is another big name to make a run. Seems like they have the last couple of years and everything like that. That's another sleeper team, and hopefully, yeah.
So here are, let's see, do we have, I thought I had, okay. These are the teams that are in right now. Jacksonville State from the Atlantic Sun. Longwood from the Big South. You got the Delaware Blue Hens,
I
think. I
believe so, yeah.
From the Colonial Athletic. You got Wright State played down here at Bankers Life, but Indiana Farmers
Coliseum.
Wright State going. Loyola Chicago, the Sister Jeans.
Mr. Jean.
How's she doing? Is she still
she's
doing
well.
She was at a game a
she
couple
was at the
days
game.
Ago.
She's 102 now.
102. Yep. Still going strong. But the, you know, it's not May or not May. Man, it's not May without the Indy 500. It's not March without Sister Jean. You have some guy named Bryant from the Northeast Conference. Hey, Bryant, how are you doing? I'm good. I'm in the tournament. Murray State from the OVC, the Ohio Valley.
John Morant.
Everybody's
Murray State.
You got, if you want to keep your teeth clean, you got Colgate from the Patriot League.
They always do good as the 15 seed in the tournament.
The Box from Chattanooga on that exciting shot.
The SoCon game winner.
That Southern was Conference. Crazy.
You've got the, I always get these two mixed up. I think it's the Jackrabbits from South Dakota State.
They're the Bisons.
There's one that's the Coyotes, I think.
I thought South Dakota State was the Bisons because that's where what's his name went. No, he went to that's NDSU. It's okay. North Dakota State because I was thinking of Wentz, but
well,
yeah.
South Dakota State, I believe, is the Jackrabbits, but they are in from the Summit League. And that, by the way, I know we're kind of stalling here while IU's doing their thing, but the Summit League, man, that conference is huge as far as geography because that includes Valparaiso, I believe. Aren't they still in the Summit League?
Valparaiso?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they lost.
Right, because South Dakota State.
They are
State
the Jackrabbits. South Dakota State are the Jackrabbits.
Ron, a former home of Ron Hunter, the Sun Belt Conference champion Georgia State team is going back. And, of course, the aforementioned West Coast Conference champions, who defeated their rivals, Mount St. Mary, the Gonzaga Bulldogs. But everybody calls them the Zags.
They need to move to the Pac-12. I wish they would. But I think it'd be better. I know it's like all an admittance and everything like that, but so, I feel like they'd be a better Pac-12 team.
Coming up, you have the WAC still, the SWAC, Southwest Atlantic Conference. These are all games to be played. The Southland, the SEC, obviously, Pac-12, the Mountain West, the MEAC.
How do you get the Southwest Atlantic Conference? Because the Atlantic is in the east.
What did I say? Southwest Atlantic?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of how geography
Southwest
works.
Southwest Athletic.
Oh.
The SWAC.
I was thinking Atlantic.
And usually that was when Mike Davis was at Texas Southern. He was always Texas Southern would win that conference. The Southland Conference, the SEC, the Pac-12, which will be very interesting, I think. The Northeast Conference, the Mountain West, the MEAC, the MAC, the MAC.
MACtion?
The MAC.
It's like the making the
MAAC. The Ivy League still, which used to not have a tournament, the Ivy League, for the longest time. Conference USA, the Big West, the Big Ten, obviously going on right now. Big Sky, the Big East, which Butler.
Did Xavier last night.
The overtime game.
Helped Indiana as well. The Big 12, the ACC, which Wake Forest lost to last night, which, again, that helps Indiana for the at-large bid. The A-10, the American, and the American East. So that's the conferences.
Modern conferences.
Yet.
Did you see what Duke is wanting to do for Coach K?
No.
So normally, I believe, like, the one seed will go to, they'll typically go to whatever bracket they're in, like correct. The East or whatever. Duke is trying to go in the Midwest because they want to play in Chicago, where Coach K is from.
Yeah, but you don't really get that.
I know. I don't really understand it. I read it
what
on
they try
Twitter.
To do is that since they've gone to kind of the pods system, is they try to geographically make it easier for fans to get places because. I remember there were a few times when I was a kid, IU got shipped out to Boise.
I just like when they did the tournament last year, where it was all in Indiana. That was pretty
cool.
That was cool because I got to go to one of the games at Lucas Oil. It was Baylor, Arkansas.
Right.
Great game.
And Gainbridge is going to be hosting first round games this year.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
It's always cool when the NCAA is in town.
So I do have an update.
Okay.
The Hoosiers lead 67-64.
3-point lead.
With 3.5 minutes left after a Michigan timeout after Jackson Davis blocked it out of bounds. So, Hoosiers hanging in there.
Yeah.
Davis does now have over 20, and he only had 4 in the first half, so he is having a quite good second half.
I have a feeling that maybe Mike Woodson maybe said some things at halftime.
Yeah.
Definitely been a different Indiana team in the second half.
What do you think Juwan Howard's thinking of this game right now? At home or wherever he's
probably
at.
I wish he could punch Mike Woodson at the moment.
Well, it's not at home because it's at Cambridge.
I'm saying if he's at home, Juwan
Howard. He's there. He's coaching.
I thought he got suspended or was it for the rest of the regular season?
It's for the rest of the regular season.
Oh, I thought it was for the rest of the season until like the tournament.
Right.
No, he's back.
Okay.
Yeah, he's back in the tournament.
So, he's probably thinking he wants to punch for Mike Woodson.
Which, by the way, I don't think he punched anybody. I think he kind of smushed him.
It was kind of a
smushed the guy.
Open hand.
And I still want to know what that guy said because something
triggered.
Something had to be direly wrong.
Something snapped.
Yes.
I'll just put it that way. Not saying he said anything. Maybe he just looked at him wrong. But that just doesn't seem like a Juwan Howard thing to
maybe
do.
Juwan Howard's breakfast was too cold that morning
that
and he
could
was
be
mad.
It. That could be it.
Yeah, I mean, I do not know. But Selection Sunday coming up this Sunday, of course, because it's a Sunday and Selection Sunday.
It's always a lot of fun to see where people go, what brackets they're in, you know, who plays where. There'll always be the controversy. Like, let's say Indiana doesn't make it, even after they hopefully beat Michigan, you know, which is what people have identified as the way they get in. I don't know. If somebody makes it over them, I suppose there are always those teams that are right on the margin. A lot of times they could be a mid-major team that had a really good season that lost in their conference tournament. And sometimes you'll see those teams that are like 25-7 or something, you know, 35-8 or, you know.
It's just what sucks about the tournament.
35-2 that is, miss it.
Somebody's got to be the 69th team.
Yeah.
And you can only have 68, and that's just the way it's been. Everything like that. So somebody's got to be that one, and obviously nobody's going to be happy about that who wants them to be in the tournament.
Well, and I think the NCAA, for all the things that it does wrong, I think it's definitely made the process a lot more transparent about, you know, who's on the committee, why. I mean, they usually trot out the committee president or who leads the committee, which, you know, again, you're talking about athletic directors that are on this committee a lot of times, or people of that ilk, and there is a science to it. You know, there's so much more in the way of analytics and quad one, quad two, quad three, strength of schedule, strength of victory, strength of loss, strength of this, strength of that, you know, number of hangnails on somebody's hand, you know, that they use all these metrics now, and it somehow says, well, by all of these metrics, Indiana's a better team than this team.
Well, at the end of the tournament, or at the end of Selection Sunday, it's going to suck if somebody doesn't make it or somebody does make it. But at the end of the day, it's all March basketball, and we all have fun.
And the cool thing I like when they have, like, the team, the video of the team, and they're sitting in the gym, and, you know, yeah.
And they all get
a bubble team, and they get all excited that they made the tournament and see where they're going to go.
Yep.
Or sometimes you'll see a team that maybe – thought it was going to be a number one seed, and they get a number two seed. And so when that opens up, they're just kind of like, yeah.
Or the one team that thinks they're going to make it and they don't make it. And
yeah.
A lot of emotion in March.
By the way, a little breaking news. Bruce Weber, former Purdue assistant, is out at Kansas State. That was announced today. And he had a big press conference where he kind of talked about some things that the NCAA has been doing, and he, you know, talking about some of the big controversy from a couple of years ago, the FBI investigation, and a lot of those teams with some of those coaches are making the NCAA tournament. I mean, he kind of went off about that because he's a guy that, whether you like him or not as a coach, he's always had a very big reputation for doing things right, quote unquote, and being a classy individual. But he was a assistant at Purdue for several years before he got an opportunity at Illinois, and then went from Illinois to Kansas State. But he is out of a job today after a really not a very good year there at Kansas State. In fact, the last three, he's struggled. I think everybody got a bit of a pass in the COVID year, but struggled these last couple of years. And so he's out at Kansas State. So that job's open now.
And there's a good amount of jobs opening, and coaches are going to move around, and just maybe some coaches get opportunities, and
right. But you know, Georgia now open, Kansas State now open, and there'll be more.
And will Tom Crean go somewhere else, or is he done?
Jackson, do you want to coach
Tom Crean
a college team?
Well, actually, I declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So I am going to
be the Colts quarterback.
Yeah. It was just a decision.
We'll see if he gets any, you know, any sniffs.
Well, you're a little late for the combine, so.
I wasn't invited, so I still declared a little late. I am going to be going to my pro day.
Is there a train going over us or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, the train of Ben Davis is going over.
The Beanie Express.
How many reps of 225 can you do?
Oh, 1,000.
1,000? Without struggle, right? Yeah.
Oh, I've never felt struggle in my life.
What is failure?
I don't know.
He can bench 225.
Yeah, that's
not
still good.
225.
Man. For 1,000? That's
right.
Good reps.
No, just 225 pound weights. That's all you can bench.
Oh.
Yeah.
That might be a problem.
But people say arm strength doesn't matter in the NFL.
It's all lower body.
It's all lower body. I'm a running quarterback. I'm Lamar Jackson.
And as you can see by the size of Jackson's legs, that's not going to be a problem.
I'm a Lamar Jackson Tim Tebow hybrid. I can run and throw.
Oh,
and
really?
Left-handed. I don't know.
I have 5 fouls. Wait, wrong sport.
I'm more fouls than points. John Easter.
Any update from the game?
The game locked me out for some reason.
Oh,
because that's awesome.
It knew you were giving play-by-play.
Illegal first.
The Hoosiers with 140 left, lead by 5, 71-66.
Man, hard to believe they're going to pull this off, maybe.
Hopefully, they're still quite a bit of game.
Knocking on wood.
Yeah, everybody just knock on wood.
You know, because I'm firmly convinced that with Indiana, they could go undefeated in the NCAA, a regular season, go undefeated the Big Ten, 20-0, and would still lose that first game in the Big Ten tournament. You know, it has been since, you're not going to believe this, it has been since, I believe, 2002, since they won multiple games in the Big Ten tournament.
2002?
Sounds about right.
Wow. Mike Davis was the coach in 2002, led that team to the national championship game that lost to Maryland. But, yeah, 2002. And I actually went to the Big Ten tournament that year.
So. At good old
It was at then Market. Conseco Fieldhouse.
When did Conseco get built?
1999.
Oh.
And then it changed to Banker's Life, and now Gainbridge.
Which, technically, Banker's Life was just another product of Conseco, I guess.
What even is Conseco?
It was a, I'm not 100% entirely sure it's around, but it was a financial company.
So they went from the street it was on, essentially, Market Square Arena, to...
Yeah, but that was a different arena.
Yeah, I know. But then went to insurance, or not insurance,
one of the
financial, and then they went to tires.
One of the first ever like naming deals was the Pepsi Coliseum. That was one of the first naming deals that I can ever remember in this area. And then RCA Dome, obviously, was the Hoosier Dome. Prior to that, Market Square never got a corporate sponsor. No.
I kind of like stadiums that don't have corporate sponsors, like Arrowhead, and like
But they do have a name, Invesco Field at Mile High.
Yeah,
but they do have a name for their field,
IFA Field or something Veta like Field.
That at Arrowhead.
Yeah, it's
a lot of times they will do that now, is, you know, they find a way to name it something else.
Yeah, it's either they name the stadium or the field.
Right.
And the Colts, obviously, like them, they don't have their field name. They have a stadium name.
Right.
Lucas Oil.
And to be honest, not a lot of people knew anything about Lucas Oil.
Geha. G-E-H-A. Field.
See, I don't know.
I don't know what that is, but.
Something.
Yeah, but I was, even though I'm a racing fan, I didn't know too much about Lucas Oil before the Lucas Oil Stadium was built, and then found out that Forrest Lucas lives in Indiana.
Lucas Oil Raceway.
Yeah, he's been like a big name in racing forever. But you wouldn't know that. I mean, it was drag racing more.
Yeah. But now Lucas Oil's everywhere.
Right.
They have like Formula 2 teams that are sponsored by Lucas Oil.
Do you remember it's been about, 5 or 6 years ago that the light bulbs all burned out and it was like, Luas Stadium.
I think so. I think I've seen that before.
Because like the oil burned out, and he got kind of mad because he's like, "Hey, I'm paying money for this.
The oil burned out.
I'm paying money for this. I need it to say my name."
Yeah.
So I do have an update.
All right.
The Hoosiers lead by 2 with 21 seconds left and have the ball.
Whew. All right.
Hopefully they can shoot some free throws.
21 seconds. A moment of silence for the game.
And Michigan threw it out of bounds with 11 seconds.
Wow. Wait a minute. How did they get the...
IU missed.
Oh. Did they shoot? Is the shot clock going down?
Huh.
Yeah.
So
now they're going to have to foul.
Yep.
Michigan doesn't have any timeouts. IU ball up 2 with 11 seconds.
So they have to foul, and IU's going to have to hit some free throws.
So 11 seconds left in the game, but we're going to have 5 minutes of actual real time.
Well, it depends, too, on how many reviews there are between now and then.
Well... Michigan doesn't have any timeouts, so hopefully it's not that long.
Just give this game to IU. They need it.
But, you know, with reviews, you get a free timeout.
Yeah.
Because I hate that.
They're reviewing stuff right now.
Actually. So this gives Michigan a free timeout is what it does. And you know, college basketball, I love college basketball. I love basketball on any level. But I really love college basketball. But that has really made games just unwatchable.
They take too long because it's out of bounds, and they're like, "Well, we got to make sure."
Right. If there should be like coaches should get a certain number of challenges, maybe or something.
Yeah, kind of like the NBA.
Yeah, it's like, well, if you you have to save your challenges.
Uh huh. I could see that because it'd be smart. It'd be a kind of a strategy.
It's just like everything gets reviewed, and you know, if the referees get together and they agree that something was a, but if maybe one of the referees says, well, I don't know, let's take a look at it, but then even, maybe they could do
even
that.
Even in like every pro league, this referee's reviewing is just taking too long.
Well, and I kind of like what the NBA did because they kind of took it out of the hands of the referees too. You know, it's a lot of it's done in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of took it out. And also, like what they've done in the NFL where, you know, a lot of the calls you see, you'll see a flag or and you'll see it get waved off, and it's because somebody in New York City took a look and said, nope.
Nope.
That wasn't a foul, or yep, it was a foul. So.
Yeah, so reviewing, the Hoosiers have the ball up by two. And they got fouled. They'll go to the line.
Yep, so free throw shooting here.
Free throw shooting for the Hoosiers.
We all know what kind of
free throw shooting team they are.
Shooting team they are.
Yeah.
So who's at the line?
Xavier Johnson.
Yeah, he's pretty clutch.
He's a 76% on the season. So if the Hoosiers win this game.
Just make one.
Just make one, yeah, make it a 3-point game.
That way you kind of
at least have a
inoculate yourself against craziness.
But if they say as of right now, as it stands, even if this game never happens, okay, the Hoosiers lose, they say they're going to be a 12th seed.
And right.
The first four.
Right, because that's where the at-large major conference teams go.
Yeah.
You're either pretty much a 12th seed, but they won't get in. They'll have to play in.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be in Dayton, which is close. Yeah. That's usually the first four, and that'll be in Dayton.
So Johnson hit the first. They're up by three.
So now you are at least immune to
a buzzer beater.
A buzzer beater, and then you don't want to foul, obviously, on a three.
Just hands back.
Right. Now, maybe you do want to foul, though,
well, if,
to prevent the three.
Michigan is in a bonus. That is something that's starting to come around more. Teams used to let them play.
I don't like that. But
I don't either.
I think you run the risk of possibly giving up a four-point play.
Johnson hit both. They're up by four.
Good for him. All right.
So there we go.
So the Hoosiers hopefully are going to make it through.
We'll have to see as Michigan brings it up. Can't do play-by-play.
Right.
But, yeah, the Hoosiers won.
There you go. So Indiana moves on in the Big Ten tournament to face the Illini of Illinois, and that is tomorrow. So that one should be another interesting matchup between Indiana and the Fighting Illini, which is a team they don't match up well with very well at all.
No, I don't know if this game will be any type of close. This game isn't over yet. There's 0.5 left, but IU has the ball at the line.
And up four.
Yeah, up four, Trace at the line, and he drained it the first one. They're up by five now. So.
Well, I'll go ahead and give Indiana some credit because, my goodness, you're down 17 at one point in this game?
Yeah, they were down 17 in the second half. Really, with 12 minutes left in the second half, they were down 17. Hoosiers came out firing, and they struggled. They went on a really just down, and then really in the final 12 seconds, final 10 minutes, Michigan had two field goals.
So,
and the Hoosiers defensively won this ball game.
So this probably means Michigan's going to the NIT, then for sure.
Michigan, they say they're at 10.
Yeah,
going in. So I don't know.
But this could drop Michigan down to the play-in as well.
So it could bump us up potentially.
Right. Well, the first four will be two at-large teams,
mm-hmm.
and then two 16 seeds. That's usually how it works. So, you know, always before in the NCAA, you would have a certain number of at-large bids, and then you'd have a certain number of actual year-in-the-tournament bids. Well, a few years back, you know, you would have maybe a team that had a losing record that would get mm-hmm. in. So what they started doing was having that first four, which they called the first round for a few years, but they kind of changed that now. So you have the first four, which is they select four teams, and there are four bids, right? So there's, I think, four more teams that go for those bids. That's what it is, because that's a 68. So you're essentially playing for two bids into the NCAA, those four teams. So Indiana would slot in if, let's say, they do make the tournament, which I still think is an if. Let's say they do make the tournament and they are one of those at-large first four teams, they would play another 12 seed. That's how it would work.
So, as the bracket stands, obviously last night two games were played.
But this is not the official bracket.
No, this is the Big Ten tournament. It's something
okay,
I'm talking about.
Okay.
Big Ten, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So, last night two games were played, and Northwestern beat Nebraska.
Right.
And then Penn State beat Minnesota. So, now Indiana, who beats Michigan, moves on to take on Illinois tomorrow at 11:30 once again, Friday.
So we'll be doing the same thing tomorrow that we're doing now.
Practically. Yeah. So now Northwestern will take on Iowa in about 25 minutes. So most likely I would say Iowa is going to win that one. And then later tonight, Maryland takes on Michigan State.
Maryland.
And then Penn State takes on Ohio State.
Right.
So, yeah, the Hoosiers live on. They move on one more time at the Big Ten tournament still.
So the four lowest automatic qualifiers and the four lowest at-large teams will play in the first four. That's how it works. So mm-hmm. that's how you get to 68. So that's how it works. So the first four, then, those are the play-in games, essentially. They don't call them that in the NCAA, but Indiana would be one of the first yeah. four of the lowest at-large teams. And my thought always has been that it should just be eight at-large teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you automatic bid, you should be automatic into the field of 64, but that's just me.
Yeah, so the Hoosiers live on. They will play tomorrow versus Illinois. And Illinois, team number one, for a reason, they're really good.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen if Indiana does get in that first four,
mm-hmm.
you will see. I think the that it's a real there's a good chance that you could still make a run. Obviously, last year we saw that from UCLA. We've seen it actually from VCU. We've seen some teams playing that quote unquote play-in game or a play-in game that have made a run. Never a 16 seed though.
Yeah, never a 16. There's no Big Ten will never be a 16.
Usually not. Usually a Big Ten team won't be in that level.
Yeah, but obviously, I don't know. Maybe we'll do a special edition of the Spotlight tomorrow if Hoosiers play well. Maybe we'll talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see. But we did have a special edition yesterday. We're going to switch topics. You're talking about a trade that happened in the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts broke the internet yesterday by trading Carson Wentz
not
to the
Not maybe
Commanders.
As much as the day before.
Yeah, but this was still kind of crazy, as you could say. It was everywhere. So the Colts traded Carson Wentz to the Washington Commanders. The Colts got back a 2022 second-round pick, which they did a pick swap with the Commanders. They got a 2022 third-round pick from the Commanders, and then they also got a 2023 third as well that can turn into a second if Carson Wentz plays 70% of the snaps in Washington. The Colts now, this came out this morning, the Colts also sent a seventh rounder to Washington. So the Colts, just a crazy, crazy thing there.
Yeah, I was not necessarily shocked that they made a move. I just thought that at that point, as we talked about yesterday, I thought that the Colts were just going to have to be content to sit where they sat. And, the credit Chris Ballard for making a move and getting some value out of Carson Wentz, getting that off the books. But the problem now becomes you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, you don't have a quarterback at all.
You don't have a quarterback. So that's the problem now.
So the Colts sit without a quarterback. And really, there's not too many options out there.
Right. I mean, that's the other part of it is who do you get now?
Yeah, I mean, you could Trubisky, Jameis Winston. I mean, Garoppolo is a guy who's been linked here. It came out last night that Garoppolo did waive his trade clause to come to Indy. But
the other issue with Jimmy Garoppolo right now is that he's got a bum shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a spring chicken.
Yeah.
So You know, the idea is that if that's that shoulder's well, but then if you wait to kind of find out if the shoulder's well, you probably are not going to have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the thing, because shoulder injuries, as we know in Indianapolis, with quarterbacks, is not good. So
we've been down this road before, haven't we?
But with a quarterback way better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Who was trending yesterday again.
Figures. I mean, yeah. I think we could have predicted that.
Took like 10 minutes.
He'll probably be trending today and tomorrow.
Right. Be like
Mr. Luck.
Yeah.
He's going to trend until he is 80 years old and physically is unable to walk, and people are going to be like,
yeah, but he's not coming through the door.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, Mr. Luck's not returning. I think that's obvious.
He's not. He's not even if he has lunch with Jimmy from the Colts.
Yeah. They could have lunch all they want.
Yeah.
He's a full dad mode.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm happy for him.
Credit to him. He got a way out and. He did what he had to do.
If you're, you know, in anything, if your heart's not in it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. But in NFL football.
Especially.
Right. If your heart's not in it, then if it's not fun anymore, then it's time to go. And that's, you know, racing, any kind of sport like that where there's so much on the line every play. If you're only half into it, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and that's kind of where it comes. And then you obviously have guys like Derek Carr, who's been linked here, but there's no way the Colts can trade for Derek Carr.
Again, a lot of these don't have
assets.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. The Colts, if they had draft picks, they would have some assets, and they do have draft picks, but the Raiders know that. So they're not going to take what the Colts have draft pick-wise. They're going to want some blood.
And the Colts, I mean, you're in a position where you're a really young, competitive team, and you're not trading any of these guys.
No.
I mean, there's no one out of the star power here, all the 7 Pro Bowlers that you're trading.
Right.
I mean, you could say Ryan Kelly, but, I mean, the Raiders aren't going to trade Derek Carr for Ryan Kelly.
You don't get a center for a quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So now, he's really the only Pro Bowler that could be moved.
You know, if the Colts had some sort of asset like a left tackle, or, you know, you have an asset like a running back, but then again, Jonathan Taylor is not going. he's not moving. So that would be too high of a price just to get a quarterback. So the Colts are kind of stuck in limbo, and it's going to take some really interesting moves by Chris Ballard. I'm glad I'm not him.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot right now. But one thing I do know.
Tough spot that he really put himself in because he believed his coach. And
his coach was wrong once
again.
Coach
was wrong. And I will say this. And you and I both, I think we both sat here, if not in person, but on Twitter, and probably thought that this quarterback thing was solved. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought with Carson Wentz, there were times last year he looked really good. It looked like this thing was solved. But then it became very clear at the end of the year that it wasn't. And for the Colts to take the next step, they needed to make a move. At least that's what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe... My dad always gave me good advice. He said, because there was a time that I had was looking for this job, actually, and his advice always was, well, you have a job, so now's the time to look for a job. You know, it's like when you have a quarterback, then's the time to look for a quarterback, and the Colts don't have a quarterback, and they're looking for a quarterback. So, you know, now it kind of becomes a desperate situation. Now you have all the free agents kind of lining up to come here, but it's like, man, Mitchell Trubisky? That's him, you know. And you got Garoppolo coming off the major injury. You got Jameis Winston with the knee. You know, these guys are you still don't know how they're going to recover.
And then, I mean, Mariota's the guy linked here.
Marcus Mariota.
I mean,
and he's been very injured, injury prone.
He can't throw, and
You know, looking at that, maybe Mitchell Trubisky is the best answer.
I'm gonna go on a limb, and I say I think Trubisky is the best out of the available options. It's either you stick with what's his name,
because he's healthy,
he's gonna stay healthy.
We
don't know what he could do with a confident coach, a confident offensive line besides left tackle, hopefully,
right,
he could figure it out, and a good running back. Chicago hasn't had a good running back since Matt Forte.
And Trubisky has some mobility.
Yeah. I mean, Trubisky, people forget, was a Pro Bowler his second year.
Right. And, you know, the Chicago media is difficult.
Yeah, and our media has turned into difficult, even though it never
much
was before.
Less difficult than Chicago. Anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, much less difficult. If this happened in New York, oh my. Can
or
you
Philly?
Imagine?
I mean,
oh,
Philly.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So the Indianapolis media, I think, has been appropriately tough on the Colts. But I think that the time right now for the Colts to figure this out, it's, I mean, they have to. They have to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to either that or maybe get lucky in the draft. Maybe you find somebody. Maybe you find the next Tom Brady.
I mean,
maybe Sam Hellinger's the next Tom Brady. I don't know.
No. He just doesn't have the arm Brady has, or he's too small. But, yeah, I mean, Trubisky's a guy who has obviously shown flashes, and he's not reckless, kind of like Wentz is, even though the statistic numbers show that Wentz was not reckless last year. You put Wentz's numbers up to any quarterback available right now, just last season, and he blows him out of the water. I mean, Wentz statistically was a top 10 quarterback.
I think you got to get a guy that wants to come here, and you got to get a guy who can execute the offense.
Yeah, and you have to get a guy who. One thing about Garoppolo that I like, I don't want Garoppolo here because he's too much of a cap, and he's hurt all the time, yada yada. But one thing I do like about Garoppolo, he does not check out of the runs.
No,
he's a guy who's gonna, if you call a run play, he's gonna hand it off.
Right.
And one thing is Garoppolo teams, they run the ball well. San Fran has had been a running back by committee.
Right.
And they run the ball well.
Yeah.
Obviously Shanahan, great coach. One of the best in the NFL. But Reich,
he's okay. Yeah.
When it comes to offense, his offenses are always really good. When it comes to running, at least.
Yeah, but I think a lot of this is self-inflicted with the Colts too.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about coaching quality and things, I think so much of this is self-inflicted in not reading the tea leaves correctly. I think there was a personal relationship probably that's been, and I'm not somebody that knows this, but I can't imagine that Frank Reich and Carson Wentz are probably too happy with each other right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they're,
'cause they were very close, and that was the whole genesis of the idea to trade for Carson Wentz, which on paper, it made some sense.
And I mean, statistically, on paper, it made some sense, but the eye test, no.
Right.
Obviously, Carson statistically put on a really good year. 27-7, top 10 QBR. Yards, no. 3,500. You probably want to get that up to another 1,000. But his receiving corps, bottom 10. But eye test, when it comes down to it, he throws a pick six. I mean, terrible play call. I don't know why Wright called a screen pass versus Tennessee in the end zone. Obviously, Carson kind of made a smart play by throwing a pick six because it was better than a safety. But
I don't know if you can think that he was thinking that at the time.
No, I think he was just throwing it to right. throw it. But that was a bad play. And then the Colts had a chance in that game as well, and Carson threw it in triple coverage.
I mean,
and
you can think back to almost every moment that it was a moment,
yeah.
you know, where they needed Andrew Luck to emerge or Peyton Manning to come out. And only once do we see that out of this quarterback. And that was in Arizona when he threw probably one of the best passes a Colts quarterback has thrown, period. But that was it. And then you just needed to clear the hurdle of the Las Vegas Raiders and or the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's all you had to do.
And you did.
And you did. And you looked spectacularly bad.
Poor.
In both.
Terrible.
So I think that was what doomed him.
Yeah, and I still haven't watched the Hard Knocks for last week. I refuse to.
Keep climbing the mountain.
Just climb that mountain. I wonder if free agents come here. And you're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But I wonder if free agents come here and they ask, Reich, what are you going to tell me? We're going to climb that mountain. Oh, well, I don't know, man. How tall is this mountain, Frank? Because you've been climbing that mountain now for 5 years.
And that's the thing, too. And I think JMV's been on this. The Colts have one playoff win in 5 years with this management group, Frank Reich and Chris Ballard. One playoff win.
And obviously, Frank Reich and Ballard came into a terrible situation. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And they had to
and
go
then
through
it got some, worse.
Andrew Luck retired, and that was the probably the biggest stab of any franchise we've seen in recent memory.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously they only have one playoff win, and there's lots of teams that don't have that. Tennessee's a team that's been constantly good in the regular season, and they only have two.
I know, but we're not in Tennessee.
I'm just putting an example. Ballard, he's done really good at drafting. He's drafted a lot of good players. Okay, I mean, Ballard's last two drafts are better than Seattle's last 10. Just to put that next to each other. Seattle's done a really good job building a team, though, free agency. And the Colts have not. I'm just comparing that because Seattle was getting beat on because they're drafting. Colts, excellent draft team, but you have to be able to go spend money somewhere else.
Right.
You have to be able to have a combination of rookies and veterans to win a championship. And the Colts have been so incompetent in free agency, it's not even funny. They do not spend money at all. And obviously, that's the Polian effect. Polian is the guy who says, no free agency at all. Do not make trades during the regular season. If you build a team in the preseason, you play out. And obviously, Polian won a championship. He should have won more. But is that his fault? Probably. Yeah, I mean, he put a really good team together. You can't lie. The Colts should at least have three Super Bowls, but that's for another day. But I'm just that's kind of the. I think that's what.
They should at least have two.
They should have won in 2005 in all reality, but we know what happened there.
Yeah.
In this current day of the NFL, free agency is such a bigger factor than it was in the early 2000s. That you have to be able to spend money. And obviously there's a bunch of free agents that I was like, ooh, we need to go get him. And that guy turned out to be terrible. He never played again. Or like Le'Veon Bell. I was for Le'Veon Bell coming here and playing with Luck. I thought that would be great. Thankfully, they didn't do that because that would have been the biggest mistake ever. But that's just the point. Obviously, I wouldn't go out and give anyone massive money. But Chris Ballard, I mean, his biggest free agent signing is probably Jabal Sheard.
Yeah.
Jabal Sheard, Justin Houston.
Because
Buckner was a trade. Practically a draft pick, you could say.
Yeah. Vontae Davis was Grigson.
Yeah.
Right?
That was 2013.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, you can't really point to a free agent that's been like, man, that was a really good signing.
I mean, obviously there's guys who have came out and played well, like Gorenski. The right guard, he was a free agency signing, but he was a guy who came in training camp, wasn't even he built himself here. It's not like he was a name prior to here. So that's the thing. I mean, obviously this team is so close, but yet so far, and that's the problem. They're so close.
And I think they're further away than they were earlier this week.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
I think they had a legit chance. I think they would have made the playoffs with Wentz on the roster last year.
But, I think we talked about off the air, I think probably someone in the organization, more than likely Jim Irsay, said, I would rather
lose
than play with Carson Wentz. I think that had to be the calculus because that's what happened. I mean, I think Carson Wentz was your best solution at quarterback still.
For right now.
Because he's better than Trubisky. He's better than the guys that are out there. He's better than Jameis Winston, at least. What he's shown, you know, maybe not upside, but I think he's shown the ability. He's played at MVP level at times, and I'm not sure we've seen that from the other guys.
Yeah, we haven't really seen it from remember whenever Winston threw 30 and 30.
And really, Carson Wentz, hate to beat on him, but doesn't really have much of an excuse either because he knew this offense. He was getting a second chance. Kind of like what we talked about with Indiana. It's like everybody's like, here you go.
Take it. No.
And it's like Indiana finally said today, okay, we'll take it.
We'll take it once.
But, you know, Carson Wentz had that opportunity here.
And he just didn't grasp it.
Maybe well in Washington.
Where he
gets another chance.
Ron Rivera, he is not the same coach as Frank Reich. Let's just say that.
Riverboat, they do have that riverboat mentality, though.
Yeah.
You know, they're both gamblers. Coach Reich likes to gamble, especially on fourth downs and things. Riverboat Ron loves to do it as well. Ron Rivera, who I think is a very underrated coach.
Oh, yeah. But he's pretty.
Man, that organization he works for is just.
Washington. Hey, Washington, you want Carson Wentz? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take him.
Yeah, what? Yeah, we'd like to cap. Oh, you want us to take the cap space? Yeah, yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah, take his money.
But you wait.
Wait, you want us to pay his bonus too? Okay, we will. Absolutely.
The Colts went and they said, we'll take a 2/3, make the 1/3 a second if he plays 70% of the snaps, take his whole cap. You give us your second this year, we'll give you our second this year. And Washington's like, okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Deal. We get a quarterback. And just,
I mean, clearly the Colts decided they would pick up the phone and talk to Washington.
And I guess it was reported Washington came to Indy and said, we'll take Carson Wentz for a 4th. And Indy said, ha-ha.
Which I would have, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a 4th is way too high. I'm actually happy with what they got. Could they have got more?
Maybe. Well, the biggest thing is that they don't have to pay his salary.
That is huge, because the Colts now have the most salary cap in the league by a margin, by a big margin.
And, of course, some of that will come off the books once they sign Mr. Q.
Mr. Big Q.
Yeah, once they sign him.
So, but that gives them room to now go out and maybe get a free agent. Maybe, obviously, the quarterbacks in this free agency class are all going to be on prove-it deals. You're not going to go out and give Trubisky $40
million. No.
Probably a 1 year, 8. 1 to 10.
Right.
8 to 10. Probably in that range for Trubisky. Same with Mariota. If you go trade for Garoppolo, he's going to be a 27th out. It's basically going to be bringing back Wentz
right.
with that cap. But the thing that's good is now they have the biggest salary cap in the league. But they've had that now 3 of the last 4 years and didn't do anything with it. So you're in a position, but we will have to see.
I think they should go get Garner Minshew.
That's a name I have heard. I don't know. Maybe they
go.
And I mean, he does rock the mullet. I'm part of that. Yeah. Obviously, his is different. His is different than mine. But yeah, we will see. But we're gonna switch topics now to high school basketball.
Yeah,
high school basketball coming up on regionals. Your Ben Davis Giants, located here at Ben Davis High School, is the same as we play this weekend. At 10 o'clock a.m. Saturday, you can hear it here.
Get up early.
Pre-game, 9:45. Myself is going to be joined by the future Hall of Famer, former head coach for your Lady Giants, Coach Joe Lentz. So that'll be good to have him back on the call. He's done 6 games so far this season and looking to do a 7th. And then, obviously, it will be me and Owen at 8 o'clock if the Giants were to win. But the Giants take on Mount Vernon, the Marauders, the 7th-ranked team in Indiana right now. The Giants, obviously, number 5. The Giants have – Marauders are on a massive winning streak.
Yeah.
I forgot to count it up yesterday, but it's over 15.
Yeah, they're 22-2 on the season coming in. Of course, they play in a different conference in the MIC. It's not maybe some of those teams, but they did play some great teams this year. You look at their schedule, it compares, I think, fairly well to the schedule that Ben Davis plays, although I think the Giants play a lot more of the top teams. But, you know, the Zionsvilles are on there. Westfield was on their schedule. They play some good teams.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, the strength of schedule goes towards Ben Davis, but, you know, Ben Davis, they're in the mix.
Not saying that it didn't.
But Ben Davis is the higher when it comes to that. But Mount Vernon is an extremely good team. Don't get me wrong. They're 22-2 for a reason. And in 4A, if you have that record, you're a good team. Obviously, strength of schedule, you can get into all that. But in the Sagarin ratings, Mount Vernon is right up there with Ben Davis. So, and that kind of tells you everything.
Right, because the Sagarin's kind of a dispassionate look at everything your team is.
So, obviously now, that will be at 10 a.m. And the Giants... One thing about this game, Ben Davis versus Mount Vernon, is Ben Davis will have a height advantage all night, all morning, you could say. Mount Vernon is a team that isn't that tall.
16 straight they won.
16, yeah. So they're hot. They are smoking hot, but...
Yeah, their best opponents, Fishers, Zionsville, Westfield on their schedule. They did play LC. Connersville, very good 3A team. Brebeuf Jesuit is on their schedule. New Pals on their conference. So they are in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. That is their conference.
And they beat New Pal just a couple for a sectional championship.
Right. So, you know, they're a good team. And of course, coached by Ben Rhodes, who was here with Mark James for, boy, how long was Coach James here? 7 years. Won the state championship in 2017. Coach Rhodes coached the junior varsity team here at Ben Davis and was one of his lead assistants as well on the bench. So, you know, it's kind of wild now. You see all the coaches that coached here that got jobs off Mark James's bench, and Kyle Ballard's another one who's still going at Triton Central there in the tournament as well. And, of course, Ben Rhodes and Zach Hahn down at Center Grove, but he's not in the tournament any longer as the Center Grove Trojans lost to Franklin in the sectional championship in kind of a Johnson County battle. But Ben Rhodes coached with Coach James here at Ben Davis.
And Ben Rhodes is a guy who has now been obviously coaching for the same amount of years as Coach Carlisle has at Ben Davis. Carlisle has 64 wins. He's 64-40 here at Ben Davis, and Coach Rhodes is 61-33.
But, so, you know, this is Coach Coach Carlisle's fourth trip to the regional. Third at Ben Davis, one at Arlington before he came to Ben Davis. In his first season at Arlington, he took the Golden Knights all the way to the 1A regional and was unsuccessful. But, of course, Coach Carlisle did win the regional his first year here at Ben Davis, took that team all the way to the state championship game. Yeah, lost to Carmel, struggled the next year a little bit with a team that was just kind of assembled. There's no other way to say it. He lost all the big players from that state run, and then had some players that came to Ben Davis and just kind of assembled. And we also saw the players that you're seeing now towards the end of that season kind of moved up from the freshman squad, and you started seeing them start. So you have some guys now who have started a lot of sectional games and regional games, even though they're still juniors here at Ben Davis. So, you know, these guys, for the most part, the core of this team all played in last year's regional. So they know what to expect going down to Southport. Of course, too, I think Coach said it on conversations with Carlisle, there's no secrets. Giants know Southport well. They play there a lot. Obviously play Southport on the regular season schedule. So played them there last year in an overtime game, I believe, in the county. Actually beat Southport. They played them early in the season. And so this is, I mean, they played in Southport a lot.
Yeah, they know that gym. They obviously played the Marion County tournament in that gym as well.
Played the regional last year there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, last year they lost in the regional game one against a team they could possibly see in game two.
But, you know, when you look at Ben Davis, they probably, people may think they got a bit of a break when Southport upset Pike in that first round. I didn't think it was that much of an upset. I mean, Pike really did not look
Pike
good.
Pike didn't play well, and Southport was hot.
But yeah.
Southport was without their best player, and they went on a run.
Yeah, so you got to give them a lot of credit. But when you look at that Southport squad, that's a team that's going to be a problem next year, too, because they have a lot of youth on that basketball team.
Everyone's
coming
back.
Yeah, so this is probably something you're going to see in this sectional again next year. Decatur, of course, loses pretty much their entire squad. Pike is losing Conwell, who was really the heart of their team this year. So you really figure it's going to come down to Ben Davis and Southport again probably next year. But when you look at this sectional, Ben Davis was expected to win
the sectional. I mean, easily.
And the thing is, and Coach Steve Witte used to coach here for many years, he used to say the toughest thing to do in sports is exactly what's expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody has the expectation that Ben Davis is going to win the sectional. And the Giants did. They were never challenged in that entire sectional. They kind of, I won't say they walked through it, because I think there in the second half, Southport made a little run at them. But they pretty much did exactly what we all expected them to do, and that was to easily win the sectional. And they did. I think, you know, they were all double-digit wins. So now you're going into regional, and
you're hot.
You're hot. Now, though, you're not necessarily the favorite in this regional. You know, you've got the seventh-ranked Marauders. You've got a really, really, really good Terre Haute North team that everybody's overlooking, but they're 23-4 on the season. And then you've got, of course,
the Fighting Irish
that started the year at number one, the Cathedral Fighting Irish, and they kind of had their problems to start out, but they are definitely, they've gotten it back together with Tayshawn Comer and the rest of that group. They are a formidable team. So you get through this regional, and then you start looking at the rest of the state, and things don't look necessarily as tough as maybe this rung in the state tournament. And it's two games in one day. That's the other thing.
That's always the battle.
If you go out and you blow out Mount Vernon in the morning, you still got to come back and play Cathedral at night. You would figure it'd be Ben Davis and Cathedral, possibly, at least by the Sagarins in the championship game. But there's no guarantees. I mean, Terre Haute North could come out and surprise everybody and beat Cathedral.
Mount Vernon could come out and beat Mount Vernon. Davis.
And I don't think it's, I mean, it would surprise me, but it wouldn't be a big surprise. Because Mount Vernon has a couple of great players. They got some twins that play for them. Yeah. And their names are escaping me at the present time, but Jarrell?
It's
yeah. I'm really sorry.
I was sitting there just thinking, because you know how I am with names.
Yeah.
They have the two brothers, J-A-R-R-A-R-D.
Gerard. That's Gerard. It. The Gerard twins.
Yeah.
Ahmad. Those two.
And Amon.
Right. So those two twins, they have those players, and then they have some other players too. But they like to score a lot of points, so I don't think you're going to see them play a whole lot of defense, which I think favors Ben Davis. Usually teams that try to run with the Giants find that that's very difficult to do because you got to have seven or eight players on your bench if you're going to try to run with Ben Davis.
So going into this one, the Giants average 63 a game when they allow 50. Only 50 points. The Marauders, they average 69. A lot of points, but they allow 57. And as you can tell, that's a big difference.
Right. But if you look at games that people have been able to slow them down, I think there was a 41-40 game in there with Connersville. There were some other teams that have been able to slow them down quite a bit. And I think the Giants can certainly play that defense and really kind of slow them down. I think that's what you'll have to do. But I really think it's the wind is blowing at the back of Ben Davis right now because you get the feeling that this team, they're back to where they were when they were a problem earlier this year. You know, when they were really rolling right before the Marion County tournament and then up to the county championship game, they kind of lost their way after that. So they really dealt well with that adversity and now have been able to get themselves back and focused. I think that Cathedral game was huge in doing that. When they get down and then they come back and beat Cathedral on the road, I think that was so big for the Giants. So
huge.
And I think the biggest part of the state tournament or biggest part of the year so far for Cathedral is the city. When they were able to kind of defeat Tech, who had beaten them earlier in the year, they were able to come back, beat Tech in that tournament, then beat them again in the sectional. So, yeah, they survived the gauntlet up there on the north side. They really did. So,
it's just going to be interesting to see, like I mentioned.
And again, there's a 23-4 Terre Haute North team just sitting right there.
Don't act like they're not good. They're an extremely talented team.
And here's the thing, too. You talk about all the teams in the tournament. Terre Haute North has had some definite adversity because their best player is out with a broken arm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that happened right before the tournament. And everybody's like, Brownsburg's going to win that sectional. Well, no. Brownsburg did not. So Terre Haute North, don't count them out either in this tournament.
So it's going to be a good one. You can hear it here this Saturday at 10 a.m., waking up early.
And if you want to see it, you could also do that. But what we want you to do is just, you know, turn down the volume and listen to us. Don't tell Greg I said that. Greg Straw.
Yeah, you can also watch it on TV.
The good news about Greg is that you can just open your windows and you can hear Greg. Because he's, anybody who knows Greg. He's
friend of the show, Greg Straw.
Greg's great, man.
Yeah, he's been on the show a few times. And
on our advisory committee as well, for WBDG.
He does everything. So. Yep.
And he's always, and I will say this about Greg, is anytime we ask him for anything, he's always the first one to say yes.
Oh, yeah. I asked him to be on the show multiple times. He got back to me in 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's like, hey, we have an advisory committee meeting. I'm there. You know, he's always the first. Greg, can you talk to my class? 2 seconds later. Yes. You know, he's that's just Greg Gregstraw. So fantastic guy. And also a little bit of, you know, teacher pride. Corey Clark will be calling the game also on Saturday for station in Terre Haute. So that'll be cool to see Corey.
Two of your alumni.
Yep. Corey and Kobe.
Both the Clarks. And then if Terre Haute makes it to a regional championship, Ben Davis does, be the current Ben Davis staff versus the past Ben Davis staff. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Cool. But coverage starts at 9:45. I'll be there, Jackson. I'm here with I'll be joined by a former varsity head coach for the girls, Coach Joe Lentz.
And we can't thank him enough for all he's done this year. Mm-hmm. Really helped us out.
But you can hear it there. And this has been a good one. Obviously, coming up this next Tuesday, we're going to be breaking down NFL free agency in the new league year as it's just right upon us. And we'll know if
we'll also know the field of 68.
So we will know who will make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that first four tournament game will be that night, I believe.
Yeah, and the Pacers, they play games this weekend, too.
Pacers, Malcolm, they're still a thing?
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon got a concussion. He does not like to pass in the fourth quarter.
Wait, Malcolm Brogdon's out with an injury?
Yeah, breaking news.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's never happened before. Happens every day. He plays two games. He goes out for a month. But I'll talk about that. Yeah, Goga's still on the team, too. But I'll be back. We'll be back next Tuesday, so you can hear it at 1:15 every Tuesday and Thursday. But we'll see you then. Hopefully, everyone enjoyed.
Hey, Hoosiers won.
Hey, the Hoosiers won. They move on. Hopefully, maybe. We'll see.